Sardis, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3 verses 1 through 3. The description of the judge is somewhat similar to that in the first letter. However, there is one important item of difference. In the first letter, Jesus holds the seven stars. Here, he only hath them. Formerly, he controlled them, but from the Sardian time on, he was not granted absolute sway in Christendom. As the Holy Spirit is not dominated by Christ, but cooperates with him, likewise many ministers pretend a similar attitude toward him. Men refuse to give the Lord the authority and teaching and control that his headship demands. Good it were if they did really cooperate with him. Then the Spirit would operate through them. Sardis means escaping, or that which remains, or Prince of Joy. From Ephesus on, there has been a sad degeneration. The Pergamos church was the result of Ephesus refusing to repent. Once begun, degeneration becomes more degenerate. Let no one think that he can decline from walking in the light and not fall into greater error. Likewise, Pergamos, as a church, refused to repent of her toleration, hence she became known as Thyatira in figure. Those who repented became Sardis, they escaped with what little truth and life remained. As compared with prevailing conditions, they had great victory, therefore Sardis was then the Prince of Joy. Dispensationally, Sardis stands for Protestantism. She escaped from the deplorable Thyatiran conditions which ruined Pergamos. To understand this letter fully, we need to bear in mind that it describes Protestantism from its beginning to the end of this age. Catholicism has had no revivals and knows nothing of real life or spiritual power. Protestantism started in a flame of revival out of dead works into justification by faith under Luther about 1500 AD. Revivals have been the order ever since, but the real abiding life and power which Protestantism has professed have not held on their way. A reputation better than the actual condition has prevailed in Christendom. A name that thou livest and art dead, sad to say, has followed immediately nearly every local and general revival. The various items of complaint against Sardis are pitiful. Only one lone commendation, a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. A fivefold exhortation is called forth by her condition. 1. Be watchful. 2. Strengthen the things which remain. 3. Remember. 4. Hold fast. 5. Repent. But behold the warning. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This corresponds with the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, verses 42 through 51, and with Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5:4. Those who do not repent of the degenerate conditions in Christendom and watch will not escape the tribulation period, but will remain on earth. They will end in Laodicea, where they will have one more opportunity to repent. Therefore, there are only two classes of people in Sardis: those who are really saved, a few names, and the great number, who have a reputation or profession of being Christians. This explains verse 5 that puzzles so many saints. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. I will not blot out his name. He who has life, the new birth, whatever his reputation, his name cannot be blotted out. He who has only a name and a profession of life however great, will be overtaken as by a thief in the night. He will be visited by the terrible calamities of the end time. The Lord will come upon him in judgment. Thus it will be proven that he had a reputation and a profession only, and that his name was never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As stated before, the overcomers in Pergamos constitute the Sardian company. Hence, all those who have fallen asleep in Jesus in the Pergamite order of overcomers, and those who will be translated from Sardis, will be seen in heaven as the innumerable company of Revelation 7. They constitute the greater part of the body of Christ. Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. The points of similarity and contrast between Smyrna and this church are indeed interesting. There is no blame against either. A crown awaits the faithfulness of each. The same legalists which say they are Jews and are not are troubling both. But to the Philadelphians he says, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Revelation 3 verse 9. Both are notified of trial and suffering, but of particular blessings accruing from them. Philadelphia means brotherly love. Philadelphia and Smyrna believers are the only real brotherhood in the world. They love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1:22. Now, these two churches are one and the same company. The Smyrnians suffer with Christ. They may be cast into prison and may die cruel deaths because of their loyalty to Jesus. Indeed, they die daily, are in jeopardy every hour. Nevertheless, they are full overcomers. They are more than conquerors. If they die, they will come up in the first rank resurrection, even the resurrection out from among the dead. Philippians 3:11. The Philadelphians are those of the last days who will not die but live as full overcomers, whole spirit and soul and body preserved blameless until the first trumpet sounds. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Observe the character of the judge here. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The key of David means the authority to reign on earth as well as in heaven. See Isaiah 22 verse 22, which is here quoted. With this authority, Jesus opens a door in heaven that the full overcomers may enter in, for they shall reign conjointly with Christ after they have likewise with him judged Christendom, the world, and angels. 1 Corinthians 6:2-4. They entered the open door of privilege on earth, accepting all the truth and walking in all the light, constantly looking for more and engaged in divinely ordained good works. The promised ground for entrance into this open door is thus expressed, For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. A little strength is a great compliment to this church. It is not said that the other churches had any strength. The expressive phrase in this connection is the word of my patience, Revelation 3:10. That is, as the Lord has patiently waited until the Father wills his return and bade us to wait steadfastly and look for his advent, so they do. They live as if they really believe that he will return. Mark you to keep the word of my patience. Behold, I come quickly. Revelation 3, verses 10 and 11. Is far different from keepeth my works unto the end or till I come, Revelation 2, 25 and 26. The first, or Philadelphian saints, he will keep out of the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. But the other, Thyatiran saints, will pass through the hour unto the end. What is the word of my patience? Answer. That eventful hour will begin with the week of 7 years. It will be worldwide. In Revelation 7, verse 14, it is called the Great Tribulation. It will end with the casting of the beast and false prophet into the lake of fire, and Satan into the pit of the abyss or hell. The Great Tribulation of Matthew 24:21 will be the severer part of that hour of temptation. It will begin in the middle of those 7 years and pertain chiefly to Israel being confined to Palestine particularly. It is termed a time of trouble and the abomination that maketh desolate, Daniel 12:1-11. That will be God's final chastisement of the nation Israel. Judgment must begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3, verses 14 through 16. Observe the fullness and appropriateness of the title of the judge in this letter. It agrees with Revelation 1, verse 11, the first and the last. And he has been the witness, faithful and true, for these 1900 years. The church is absolutely without excuse. Jesus Christ has done his part to the uttermost. He died and arose, the firstborn or first begotten from the dead, Colossians 1:18, the beginning of a new creation. He ascended on high to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. Jesus sent another comforter to guide us into all the truth and show us things to come, John 14, verse 16, and John 16, verse 13. And lastly, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering, for the building up of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4 verses 11 and 12. The Holy Spirit has spoken through these 7 letters. Every condition has been fully described, every encouragement given, every warning pronounced. Every prospect held forth to induce believers to press forward for the highest prize. There has been absolutely no lack. And yet, what is the final decision of the candlestick examiner? Lukewarm. The Greek verb kilio, from which the word lukewarm is derived, means to become warm or soft, to melt, to luxuriate, to revel. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 2 Timothy 3, 4. The word Laodicea means just people. Yes, that is what this church is in name and what she should be in fact. But God declares her neither cold nor hot. Laodicea also means rights of the people. Democracy has been the political boast of this country, the United States. Other countries have adopted her policy, a government by the people and for the people. This spirit of religious democracy is getting a foothold in Christendom. Insubordination, lawlessness, unteachableness crop up everywhere. Under the plea of personal rights, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. Laodicea revels softly in her luxurious works and supposed wealth and self-sufficiency, but Jehovah pronounces her wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked, Revelation 3, verse 17. She does not know her true condition. There is not one word of commendation concerning this church. The inevitable sentence is most solemnly expressive, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Reader, do you understand that statement? We taste water by taking it into the mouth only. If it is lukewarm, it nauseates and is instantly expelled from the mouth. The non-overcomers of Sardis will continue unto the revelation of Christ, when he will come upon her as a thief, Revelation 3, verse 3, and 16, verse 15. Laodiceanism will be the pronounced feature of the end of that period. Indeed, Laodiceanism is prevalent today, though it is the Sardian time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me, Revelation 3, verse 20. Likewise, viewed dispensationally, this just people, falsely so called, was never incorporated into Christ's body. They are no part of him or of his true church. It is very evident that Laodicea does not dwell in God, nor does Christ dwell in her. Else why does he stand at the door and knock? Nay, Laodicea has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. She has a profession without any possession. She is in apostasy. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, Revelation 3:14, is standing at the door of Christendom today, outside the door, making his final appeal to her, saying, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Revelation 3, verse 18. In the Diaglot, Revelation 3:20 is striking. Lo, I have stood, and I knock, showing that the divine entreaty is going on today. The Lord offers three indispensable products to this wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked people, namely, gold tried in the fire, white raiment, and eye salve, the very least that any believer should have. First, gold tried figures divine life. Through faith in Jesus, we obtain this new heavenly divine life, which is the blessed beginning of true and eternal riches. We are born again. Man, though he be a millionaire, is poor if he is not a partaker of the divine nature. Gold tried refers to our state. Second, white raiment speaks of Christ's righteousness, which becomes ours when we believe on him. Our nakedness before God, which sin entailed, is then covered. God sees us in a new white spotless robe, even as he saw Adam in his new fur coat, Genesis 3:21. White raiment refers to our standing. Third, eye salve symbolizes the Holy Spirit, whom by receiving we have the anointing that abideth. He illuminates, lubricates, and heals our whole being. As here intimated, the three adorable personalities of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, unite in redeeming and saving mankind. The above three initial items of the gospel are always freely offered to men. They are emphasized especially now in the closing days of this age. God is calling out a people who shall fully accept this threefold divine offer and thereby fully overcome this Laodicean condition. They will constitute a special company, the end-time link between the church and the kingdom. They will be the third and last rank of the church to be translated. Observe that every church is addressed through the pastor. This one is counseled to buy tried gold, etc. This proves unavailing. Hence, the judge exclaims, Behold, I have stood at the door and I knock. This is the final and most positive evidence that the Lord, the head of the church, is on the outside. No one knocks to get out of a house. Furthermore, he adds, And I will come in. There is no hope of him being received by the church as such, but only by individuals. I will come in to him. This is solemnly significant, only for the sake of those who may yet repent. The Lord delays spewing Protestantism out of his mouth. Doubtless that will follow the apostasy. Paul's great conflict for them in Laodicea, even as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, Colossians 2:1, is pathetic and prophetic. The Holy Spirit yearned through him over the church in the end time. Epaphras also was deeply concerned for them. See Colossians 2 verse 1 and Colossians 4 verses 12 through 16.